Morning, everybody. Yeah, you guys all had a great week. Like I said, I spent most of the week sick, recovering, but God is good. I'm here. God is good. And we're right in the middle of a new series we started last week called Discipled. Spent a lot of time talking about discipleship and what does that mean. And last week, the focus was on the call, right? The call of how Jesus called his first disciples and how he continues to call today. It's not just like he called them and that was it. No, he continues to call every person, every human. Now we have God gives us a decision, right? We have to answer the call. It's like when somebody, how many of you guys, your phone rings and it's like a 50-50 whether you're going to answer that call or not. Yeah, right? 50-50. It's like, and it depends what kind of mood you're in or if that person, you're happy with them, you're like, I'm going to answer. But if they're like, I'm mad at them right now. So it's like a 50-50, right? Yes or no? Yeah, that's true. I know. I call you guys. Half of you guys don't answer the phone when I call. It's okay. I'm not Jesus. But when Jesus calls, pick up the phone. Amen? When Jesus calls, pick up the phone. Doesn't matter what kind of mood you're in. It's like, yes, Jesus? Yeah, your tone even changes. Yes, Jesus? What can I do for you? But last week, we spent a lot of time on answering the call and invitation to discipleship. And so today we're going to be learning a little bit more, building on that, because obviously it's not just that you answer the call and invitation. Jesus is asking you and wanting you to go deeper in relationship, yes? That's what we're going to be focused on today. The title of today's sermon is Take My Yoke, Learning from Jesus. Take My Yoke, Learning from Jesus. And so we're going to be spending some time in Matthew chapter 11, a little bit in Matthew 22. And also in Galatians, but you guys are probably all familiar with this passage of scripture, and we're gonna be spending some time breaking it down. And what does it mean, right? What does it mean at the end of the day? It's not enough just to say that I follow Jesus Christ, but as we grow in relationship and we become His disciples, and as He walks us into a deeper relationship, right? He wants us to do something, right? It's not just to say like follow me like on Facebook or follow me on Instagram. Heart and like all my posts. It's going to make me feel really good. No, Jesus wants to be what? The Lord of your life. And we said it last week, is that when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, He gives you the exchange. Brings you from death to life, right? He takes your dirt and He gives you diamonds, right? But more importantly, He gives you Himself. He gives you Himself. You get a relationship with God. And so we're going to be learning and building upon that first principle we learned last week. And so if you guys want to go ahead, let's go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And let's just read. We're going to read in 28, actually. Matthew 11, 28. And it says there, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Let's read that together. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart." Let's say that together. "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let's repeat that too. "And you will find rest for your souls." And let's read 30 together. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen? Man, that's a great passage. That's a great passage there. Even if we just close there and just focus and meditate, it would be good, right? But you're like, wow, that's the fastest sermon ever. I'm kidding. I'm good for about 55 minutes. You guys know that. You're like, wow, that was fast. No, but we're going to be spending some time breaking this part down because obviously Matthew chapter 11, you guys read it, a lot of it. He's doing two things, right? The context is Jesus is preaching. He's calling out a couple of cities. If you guys know that, if you go back and read the first portions of Matthew 11, he's talking about some of the cities where he's been preaching and doing miracles and people have not repented. You guys remember that? He says, it's better. He says, "I've done all these miracles," particularly where he's from. People are not believing. They're not coming to faith. He talks about then how he is revealed, how the Father and the Son is revealed, and how the Father is revealed in relationship to Jesus Christ. And then he comes with this particular passage of Scripture, the invitation, right? I don't know if you knew that, but man, Who doesn't need some rest in Jesus right now? Who's carrying a load that maybe you just need to give it over to Jesus? And so that's what we're going to be learning about. Because the first thing we're going to be learning, and it's point number one in today's passage, and then also in the message, is that the invitation to discipleship is given to all. Right? The invitation is given to all. Because we see that in verse 30. It says, come to me, what does it say? All, right? Who are weary and burdened. It doesn't say to me, come to me, you know, if you serve and if you sing in worship, come to me, right? It doesn't say, come to me if you're a leader, come to me if you attend Bible study, come to me. It says what? Come all. And that's a good thing, right? It's not for the chosen and the elect. It says everybody is invited into the kingdom, right? Everybody is invited into discipleship. And come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I like the New King James Version. It also, I don't know if you have that, but some of you may know it. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a very similar invitation that we have from Jesus, because he invites everybody. He's inviting everybody, which is at this time it's countercultural. I don't know if you know that. Remember that Israel were the chosen people. Do you guys remember that? And there were it was just the elect. And even that, there was the religious leaders, and from that there was a hierarchy to all of it. And Jesus came to do away with all of that. He says, listen, I came to bring salvation and hope to everybody. And that's us too. Amen. I don't know if you know that, but man, when you read that, it's like, thank God that he did, right? Because I live over here. I didn't grow up in, I'm not an Israelite back descent. I don't know if you know that, but you know, so the invitation is for everybody. What a blessing that is. And so he invites everybody that's listening to come, just as the same as the disciples were invited to come. He invites you today to participate in that. And what does he mean by that, right? He calls you to what? What's the other thing that stands out to you as you read that? He's inviting them to come to who? To him. Right? That's also very different, because remember, at the time, I always say the context of the passage is he was speaking to the Jewish people. And they all knew about the law, right? It was always about the law and the rules. And they didn't have a way to the Father. You guys remember how were they giving sacrifices? How are they coming before the Lord? You guys remember that? Through the veil behind the Holy of Holies. That's where God was, right? Yeah. But they have to come. Who had the opportunity to go there? Only the priests, right? The high priests had the opportunity to be before God. And now here Jesus is doing something revolutionary. He says, come to me. He just finished explaining that he and the Father are one. And now he's giving invitations. Says, come to me. All who are what? Heavy laden, right? Come to me, all who are burdened. Which is different in the culture, right? In the world, right? People often bring to themselves, if you want to bring to yourselves all the people, he's like, here's what he's really asking for, right? Let me put it in a word, in a way that you can understand. You have friends and family that, you know, sometimes they come with a lot of drama. Have a lot of problems. If you didn't raise your hand, you're the person in your family. Just don't tell them, okay? It's going to be our secret, okay? Don't elbow the person next to you. Just keep it between you and Jesus, yeah? And so, you know people like that in your life? You have coworkers like that? You have family like that? And he's, what is he saying, right? He's saying, all those people, the person that you thought, those are the people that I want. All the people with all the drama and all the heartache and all this, you come to me. That's who I'm here for. I didn't come here for the what? The self-righteous. I came here for the broken. And that's all of us. That's all of us. I know I was joking. You didn't raise your hand. All of us are, that's all of us, yes? We all have problems. We're all sinners. We all need Jesus. Amen? We all need Jesus. And so he's talking to everybody. He says, everybody who is burdened and heavy laden, who in the King James Version, who labor, right? And I will give you rest. And that's an invitation to discipleship. It's an invitation of a life to follow Jesus. Learn from him to find rest in him. Amen. And isn't that beautiful? Like oftentimes, don't you wish it? A lot of times when I was younger, I had a lot of different goals in my life, right? I'm just being honest with you. I had a lot of financial goals in my life. I wish like somebody, and I've learned from my dad, from my brother, from different people. But sometimes you're like, man, I wish somebody would give me like the secret to how to be really successful in this area. Do you ever wish that? You do, right? And sometimes, and it would have been great at that point if I would have met that person and they would have taught me all the, but I had to learn a lot. Guess what? I mean, I've had some good mentors in my life, but I had to make a lot of mistakes myself. How about you guys? Right? And so I didn't have that, maybe, for example, that mentorship, that inside scoop. But guess what? Jesus is giving us the inside scoop into life. Forget about all the business stuff. Jesus is giving us the inside scoop, and he says, I'm going to invite you to show you the real treasures if you can disciple under me. Amen? Man, the King of Kings, the Creator, invites you to be his disciple. Wrap your brain around that. That's an amazing thing. And the other thing we're going to learn right here is that, listen, it's an invitation to all of us, but he's inviting us to a relationship, not to rules, not to church. He didn't say, he says, everybody who's heavy laden and who's stressed out, go to church. Do we do that? We do, right? You say, you know what? You need to go to church. You need to, no, you need Jesus. We need to follow Jesus is what we need, right? And so he's inviting us into relationship. This is why this is the second message, just about discipleship and his calling. But the other thing that we find that's really interesting is that he invites us, right, to partake, to be a part of his life, to have him be the Lord of our lives. And he doesn't just make it available to some, he makes it available to everybody. And so this reminds me of we're gonna switch over to Matthew 22, because the invitation is not just for a select, it's not for a few. In fact, we're gonna pick up on the parable of the banquet and the wedding feast, and how this ties into this passage of scripture in the parable of the wedding banquet in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 verses 1-3, Jesus says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. And then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who had been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, fat and calf have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention, went off to his fields, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those that I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite the banquet, anyone you find. And so the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Amen. Again, what we're finding here and what we're seeing in this particular passage of scripture is that what the invitation is for everybody. In the wedding banquet parable, he's talking about, I've invited these people and they've rejected it. Who is he talking about? Talking about the Israelites, right? Talking about the Jewish people. In fact, some of them said they were too busy, they couldn't come. In fact, it goes on to say that some of them they murdered his servants. Who, talking about the prophets that were murdered by the Israelites. You guys know that? And then he says, fine, bring everybody, the good and the bad. Open up, right? Open up the VIP guest list, and you're invited too. And so that's the takeaway from this, is the banquet is for everybody. That Jesus is not just for a little bit, he's for everybody. Even that person that drives you crazy in your family, even that coworker that's crazy, Jesus loves them too. Amen? Amen. So it's at the heart of what we see in the kingdom is his invitation is for everybody, and it's a personal one. It underscores the personal relationship of discipleship, that you get to know who God is, and that God gets to know you. Amen? Now that part makes me nervous a little bit, huh? You like to know about things, yeah? Some of us are nosy on our Instagram. What are they doing over there?
Oh,
went over there. Did you see? They didn't invite us. You guys know? You like to see that what's going on Facebook? You like to track everything? I thought you were out of town. How do you know that? Well, I'm your stalker. You like to know what people are doing, yes or no? But maybe not so much. When the tables are turned, do you like people to be all up in your business? Do people like to know where you're going, where you're eating, where you're, you know, what you're drinking, what you're doing, what you're thinking about? Oh, you'd say like, between me and God, Pastor. But guess what? Jesus wants to know you. Jesus wants to know you more. Because why? Why does he want to do that? Because he loves you. He wants to spend time with you, right? And the other thing is too is that there's some things that as Jesus gets to know you more, right, there's some things that need to be cleaned up a little bit, yeah? Like when somebody important comes over to your house, what do? Leave it a hot mess? Clean it up, don't you? Right? You don't really want to just like, hey, I mean, I'll tell you guys this. If you come over to our house, I always tell you, our house is not a museum. We live there, okay? So you're going to have to pardon a little bit of the mess. No, don't come over. I'm sorry. You can't. Don't show up unannounced. Stephanie's. This is a true story. Somebody came to the house the other day. I was wearing like pajamas and flip flops, and he looked at my feet and like, Pastor, you need some sun. Like, I was not ready to have guests over. It's okay. We opened the door anyway. I said, this is how I live, right? I wasn't wearing like a big old robe. Like, come on in. I was just reading my Bible. I was just getting up having coffee in my messed up pajamas. But that's how we like to front a lot, don't we? We do. But Jesus came to know you. He already knows you as you are. That's the thing too, is like, who are you faking? Who do you think you're faking out? You think you're faking out God, the author and the creator of the universe? He's omniscient, omnipresent. You think you can fool him? He knows everything, right? And he still makes the decision to say, come as you are. Come as you are. I want to disciple you. I want to mentor you. I want to show you the real things of heaven. Amen? And so here's the other thing, right? It's like now what I like about this particular part, in that verse is that he says, if you're rested, come. All right, no, what does he say? He says, all of you who are weary and burdened. Weary and burdened. It says, and what that means is it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how tired you are. It means that Jesus invites you and he accepts you as you are. Right? Now, here's the thing. How many of you guys are weary in here? How many of you guys are tired? Right? Yes. Yeah, that's, I don't know about you, but I feel tired all the time. I feel tired all the time. I'm weary. I'm burdened. I don't know about you. I'm hardwired to think about things. I can't turn it off. It's like a curse for me. Like, I wish I could turn it off. I can't. From the minute I wake up, I start, and this is a true story. Stephanie knows this. If I don't start praying, I start sweating. I'm just being honest with you guys. Because what? My brain immediately kicks on, and I start thinking and stressing out about all the things that I have to do and all the things that are going on. And I have to start praying. I got to give it to God right away. In fact, you guys, I've told you guys this before. The minute you wake up is when you are the most stressed out. Your cortisol levels are at their highest in the morning. So the natural thing is to go to God right in the morning, right? There's a lot of passages of scripture that say, early in the morning, right? I will seek you. I will be in your word. And so that's a reminder for all of us. But we're all worried. We're all tired. You know, what he says is, I will give you rest. That's the other thing too. It's like, listen, you didn't need to earn it. You're tired. You're weary. You're heavy laden. And he says, and though you don't deserve it, I will give you rest. I don't know about you guys, man, but I'd love to rest in Jesus. Take a nap with Jesus. You're like, Adriana's like, now you're talking my language. That's her love language, naps. She took the test and she saw naps was number one. It's not even act of service, not even gift. She just said, Stephen, just let me take a nap. That's how you tell me that you love me. Amen? See? I know her. But you don't have to earn it. You can rest in it. It's unmerited favor. Yes? That God says, you'll find your rest for your soul in me. He's gracious. He's a giver. He's not a taker. He's not there with a scoreboard to say, did you do this and this and this? Oh, well, then get up. Who said you could sit down? Right? You know people like that? Yeah, you do. It's you. It's unmerited favor. It's a gift from God. It's at the heart of his invitation to discipleship is that you enter into rest with him. Amen? And so some of us are walking around our lives. Show that first picture of the little donkey, Stephen, the very first one. Some of us, it's a little picture of the donkey. Look at this guy. Poor donkey. Isn't that, my brother said his name is a model. Okay. This is a model of donkey. And he has a lot of, he's carrying a lot of weight. Look at that. This is work, some bills, relationship issues, things that, all kinds of four or five different projects, right, Amala? Right? That's us, right? Who can relate to that picture? Like, man, and then guess what? You're like this, you're walking, and you're like, somebody asks you, can you do this? Or your kids, you should tell them no, right? Go ahead, I can do it, mijo. Go ahead, mija. And then there you are. That look familiar? Right? Eventually, you can only do so much. Because guess what happens when you put so much weight on yourselves, right? Let's go to the next one. Before you know it, this is you. This is you. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't know why I'm working so hard. I can't seem to get ahead of my bills. I can't seem to get ahead of all these relationship problems. I'm trying. You're doing the moonwalk. And all the problems you're carrying, right? And Jesus is saying, and it's funny, right? He said, this is you. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, who are carrying so much. Right? Poor donkey. Poor Amado. No wonder he's tired all the time. That's all of us, yes? It's all of us. You know, I've tried to do this on my own. I don't know about you guys, but how many of you you're sick and tired of trying to do it on your own? You try to fix it, yes. You try to do things. It doesn't matter what, man. It just you don't make any headway. You're just carrying this load. And here's the thing. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. God invites you to rest in him. God invites you to say, listen, that burden, the thing that you are stressed out about all the time, that hurt, that problem, that trauma, that thing with your family, everything, whatever's going on, listen, you need to give it to me. He can actually do something about it. He can actually carry that weight. We're not meant to carry it. We're not meant to live our lives like this. But we try. And we drive ourselves crazy trying to figure it out. And Jesus is saying, listen, come to me. And I can show you a better way. Amen? And that's what he's inviting us today. That's what it means. And so we have to do two things, right? Recognize that we're not God. Let God be God. And let him, right, be the one who can carry the burden for you. Okay, we can take a model off the screen. My brother, I'm telling you. The second thing that we see about this particular passage, and it comes in verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What we see there, the fill in the blank there is, when we follow Jesus, we learn that his yoke is light. His yoke is light. When Jesus is speaking, I always say the context, who is Jesus speaking to, particularly in this particular time? What was your life consisted of what? Of farming. Right? So you guys probably know what a yoke is, yeah? All right, go ahead and Stephen, put the two little cows up there. This is a yoke, right? And look at these little cows. They're so cute. Like the cows that you find at Hobby Lobby. With the bangs. That's like a thing now. I don't know. You guys see those cows everywhere? I don't know. I don't get them. But maybe this is your thing, right? The cows with the bangs. But this is what the yoke would look like. So they're, this is a plow, and the two of them, right, are yoked together. Do you guys see that? And what does it mean? Why are they yoked in pairs? Because they're a team. Yeah, and oftentimes when you had a new ox that you were trying to pair, you would often pair them with what? A more experienced one. Why? So the other one would follow or learn, right? What if you have two new ox? They'd be going all crazy, right? So you have to pair them together. This is what the yoke looks like. Now, Jesus is inviting you to say, listen, he's putting a mental picture in their brain so they would know exactly what it means. He's saying, listen, the same way that a young ox would learn, you need to learn from me. Because my yoke is light. It's not heavy. It's not like the people who put all these burdens on you. Not like the religious leaders who are making you jump through hoops. It's not like all these laws, right? My yoke is light. You can learn from me. Right? And so that's the other thing that we find out. Now, what does it mean? Right? It's a metaphor at the end of the day. That he wants to show us a better way. And we yoke ourselves to Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing. Do you think this little oak, put the little cow back up there? This one's the model. This one's Michael. My brother's like, my whole life I've been a work animal. No. But this is true, right? You think, what does it mean? You see that they're actually chained here? Do you think they can get away from each other? It's talking about what? They're going to spend time together, learning together. And guess what? You think one can run away? No, he's talking about relationship. Yes? And so he's inviting you to learn, to teach you. In Galatians 6:2, it says what? That we should carry another's burden, fulfill the law. Christ. That we're meant to shoulder this together in life, in fellowship as a church. But more importantly, though, Jesus is inviting us to what? Carry the bigger burdens for us. Amen? His yoke is not one of oppression. His yoke is one of grace, of love, and of freedom. It brings us into a relationship where we can grow with Him. We can learn from Him. Because of what? The proximity. Right? You're right next to him. I always say, man, I would have loved to be one of the disciples. Not the one who betrayed him, because that's not good. One of the others would have been amazing, yes? I would have loved that. And still he invites us today into fellowship and to know him. What we take on is his yoke, and the thing that matters is when we're molded and shaped, right, by Jesus Christ in relationship. You think that your life is not going to be blessed if you're spending time with God, if you're spending time at the feet of the Master, if you're spending time in His Word, if you're spending time in fellowship, you think that your life is going to be what? You're going to have Jesus doesn't exempt us from heartache, but listen, man, God is inviting us to be a part of His life. Does that make sense? To come into your life, to be Lord of your life. Ultimately, as we take on His yoke, it means that we are the ones that are changed, that we learn. A lot of times, if we're honest, we've been like this, and we're yoked to the world, or we're yoked to somebody, and we're trying to go all about the wrong way, yes? We're trying to do it all ourselves. Guess what? You're not God. Your yoke is not light, right? Or you're following somebody else, and you can't live up to those standards, to be quite honest with you, because we're not meant to be walking with the world. In fact, you guys know this, and Paul tells us what? Don't be yoked right to the unbeliever. Don't be yoked to the world. Don't have idols. You're going to be led astray. And as we take these things on, as we build this relationship, right, it starts to transform us more into His image and His likeness. The third thing that we see from that particular passage of Scripture is that being a disciple of Jesus means staying connected and under His yoke, right? Being a disciple of Jesus means staying connected and under His yoke. So, here's what I'm going to do. You guys know what it looks like right now. Most people are in pairs right here. Most people are in pairs. If not, find a pair. And if it's okay, if you can do a three-way, a three-person. Because you know what it means? I want you just to visualize this. You're like, I'm not like that. I'm not a cow pastor. Okay, I get it. So I want you to do is, I'm going to invite Stephanie to be, she's going to be in my object lesson, right? Some people are mooing over there in the back. If you put your arm around here, like this, and she puts her arms around it, what does that remind you of? Are we kind of what? A little bit yoked together, right? That kind of reminds you of that. I know some of you guys are just holding hands, but try to put your arm around that person next to you. See if you can yoke yourself to that person. And the other person, put your arm too. Okay. See? What does that look like to you? Man, she's trying to hug me like she's, this yoke is like, I love this yoke. But what does it feel like? What do you feel? You feel the weight. What else do you feel? You feel close. That God is inviting you into a closeness, right? To be yoked with what? With Him. Now, this is like some of the husbands are like, hey, I'm liking this. Should do this. We should do this object more often. Right? Calm down. Calm down. Settle down. But there is a bond, yes? I could see some of you guys like looking each other in the eyes, like, oh, I like this. Right? Some of you guys are like, ah, let me go already. Right in the back, she's like, you're making me hot. Give me a hot flash. But some of you guys already, how come you guys broke your yoke over here? What happened? She can't breathe. She's like, you're suffocating me. The closeness is too much being yoked by you. But you see, this is why the reason why I wanted to do this little small object lesson is for you to recognize that Jesus is inviting you into relationship. He's inviting you into closeness. And the thing about it is, like, let's say, and Jesus says, like, my yoke is what? Light. Not yours. Because the thing about it is that you have to follow. Let's say the two of us were now, we're going to try to walk around the room together. All right, let's see what would happen. If she tries to lead me or if I try to lead her, what do you think is going to happen? We need to be in, somebody needs to lead, yes or no? Because if not, we're going to be tripping all over each other. We're going to follow each other. She's going to step on me. She's wearing big old heels. Might have to go to the ER afterwards. Right? And so what it means is that as we're walking together, one of us has to lead. The problem is that sometimes now you try to go that way. But here's the thing. Jesus is God, but He's also gentle. He's lowly. And He will do what? Go, keep going. Right? And at some point, you're going to go places where Jesus, you think that Jesus is going to stay yoked to you? Can Jesus have anything to do with darkness and sin? And He can't, right? You have to make a decision to stay yoked. You have to make a decision, right? That He invites you into relationship. He invites you into oneness. He invites you into togetherness. But He wants to take you only good places. I only want to take you to Ruth Chris. I only want to take you shopping all the time. He wants to take you, of course, those are nice places. He wants to take us places where we're what? I want to take you into safety, right? I want to take this burden from you. All the things that are heavy in your head and your heart, let me take them. I love you like that, right? You're not meant to carry them, but I can carry them. Does that make sense? And so He wants to lead you, right? He wants to lead you and teach you and walk alongside that God is a God of what? Of love, right? He's a God of relationship. He's a God of intimacy, right? That He doesn't care, right? That He doesn't care about all the trauma. He doesn't care about the heartache and the heartbreak and all the fronts that you have to put. That God sees you as you are. And He says, you know what? I want to walk with you. Right? He's inviting you into discipleship. He's inviting you into your relationship. He's inviting you to know you. Yes? And this is a place where you feel what? Safe. Where you feel loved. Where you help, where you feel supported. Where you felt understood, right? Because every single one of us, right, when we're walking alone, what do we feel? We feel alone. We feel hurt. We feel betrayed. We feel misunderstood. And Jesus said, no, there's oneness with me. My yoke is light. My burden is light. Let me lead you into relationship. Walk with me in discipleship. Does that make sense? And that's what He invites you today. Now, I wish we can get a lock like we saw with the cows and say, yep, you're locked with Jesus. Amen? But gives you the invitation. He gives you free will. And that's our, what's our part? Our, the invitation is there. What do we need to do? We need to respond. Amen? We need to stay yoked to Jesus. Amen? Thank you, babe. So I want to see you guys walking out as you walk out yoked with whoever you came with, okay? You're like, no. He's making me sweaty. Can't breathe. Marriage sign-up sheet is in the back. Ultimately, what Jesus is inviting us to is what? To come under His authority. To come and let Him be Lord of your life. Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing it your own way? You're not God. Come under His authority. Learn His way of life. Be in the Word. Be in the fellowship of brothers and sisters. Right? Walk in step with Him. That's what we talked about. Walk in step with Jesus Christ. Stop trying to pull Jesus. You know how silly it is that you look, that you're over here like trying to pull Jesus? Just walk with Him. Let Him lead you. Be guided by Him. And He's inviting you what? To do. When you trust Jesus. Listen, how about you guys? Doesn't it feel like you don't have enough time? Like it doesn't matter what you do, there's not enough time. There's always something to do. There's a thing, a place to be, a deadline to meet. There's not enough time. Right? The world that we live in is so fast-paced. It's like, my gosh, I just need room to breathe. Yeah? And guess what happens when you're walking with Jesus, like the cows that were yoked together? When you let Jesus lead, you have to go at what? At His pace. His pace. You're running around trying to do things, burning your whole life out, right? And Jesus is like, man, slow and steady wins the race. I'm right here. Do things at His pace, not your own. You're going to burn out. You're going to get tired. Let your life be guided about it. And discipleship is what? It's not, here's the other thing too. It's not adding another thing to your life. Like, here's another thing I have to do. Here's another burden. Here's another to-do. But it's really giving your life over to God and let Him be God and let Him lead you and guide you. Amen? Because He invites you into relationship, to teach you, to walk with you, and to do what He's called you to do. When you're walking with Jesus is when you really start to identify why He made you. What is your purpose? You know, you're not born, let me just give you a hint, you're not born to work, to consume, and then die. That's a very sad existence. He invites you into relationship with Him. He invites you into purpose. You can identify and know what that is. You're spending time with Him, and as revealing that as the power of the Holy Spirit is working in you, and He's speaking to you, and He's calling you into relationship, and He's calling you into service. And then you start to walk, and you find out that what that yoke fits you perfectly. That yoke is exactly what you needed. As much as you resist it, it's exactly what you needed. Because He says what? He's gentle and He's lowly. He's full of grace and mercy. That's our God. And that's the type of God that we are. That's who we're responding to this morning. So the things that we have to learn as we, just a quick summarize from last week and this week, is that what? First is respond to the invitation. Respond to the call. Admit, right? Put a model back on the screen. The one that's flying. The other one. Admit that you're overburdened and that you're weary and that you're in need of a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. Yeah? And He walks, invites you to walk alongside and to teach you. And we hitch our lives to Him, right? He shows us that there's a better way. That heaven did come down. That He is here. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He invites you to. Amen. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. And I just keep you, I want to ask you guys, you know, how do you do this practically, right? Some of you have already started. You're doing your devotions. You're showing up to men's and women's Bible studies. You're going to community group. You're here on church on Sundays, right? You're being intentional to spend time with Jesus Christ. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you said, you know, I'm in my Bible and I don't quite understand it. Sometimes I don't get it. Pray to the Holy Spirit before you start reading your Bible, that the Word comes to life to you. If you don't understand it, text me, ask questions, right? There's a lot of different resources that people are using right now. I know some folks are doing the Bible recap. There's so much access to God. Remember, still, God is a God of relationship. You don't need more information about God. You need more relationship with God. So that means you showing up. That means being yoked to Him. Then in the good and the bad times, right? If your life is hitched to Jesus Christ, I'll be honest with you, man. What else can happen? What's going to happen if your life is hitched with Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the lover of your soul? Right? We're going to have hard times. But Jesus is who He says that He is. He's awesome. He is amazing. And lastly, in John 11, I skipped over this, but Jesus Himself, He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. He loves you. He lays down His life for you. And so when His invitation is not just a relationship, but it's a transformation, and it's a purpose. Not because it's easy, because we're partnered with Him. His power becomes our power. We're empowered with His grace and love. Paul says it, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not on our own strength and ability, but through Christ's strength. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank You again for just this power, Lord God, of the power of Your Word. Thank You for Your goodness, Lord God, of how You invite us, Lord God. And Your Word tells us this morning that all who are weary and heavy laden, Lord, You invite them to find rest for their souls. And that's a lot of us in here this morning. Help us to surrender. Help us to be yoked to You, Lord God, that Your yoke is light. That You are for us, Lord God. You're not against us. And Lord God, when we're aligned with You, Lord, what can the world do to us when we're yoked to the Master, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And You invite us into relationship, Lord God. So help us, Lord God, to not forget. Help us not to go out into the world on our own, Lord God. Help us to be always with You at our side, Lord God, with You as our Lord, as our Father, as our Defender, as our Savior. When we get to the car, to when we wake up, to when we, every minute, Lord God, we just recognize that we have an opportunity to walk alongside You. Continue just, Lord, to work in our lives, Lord. Help us to answer the call of the discipleship. Help us just to say yes, Lord God. Help us to stop making excuses. Father God, if there's something that is getting in the way of our commitment, Lord God, Lord, I just pray that we would repent from that. Lord, if we need to come before You, just lay it at Your cross, Lord God. If there's a sin, any kind of conflict, anything, Lord God, any pain, any hardship, Lord, that we need to surrender, Lord, just help us to surrender it this morning. And Lord, just help us to get real with You first and foremost, and to walk, Lord, to invite You. To invite us, Lord God, to discipleship, into deeper relationship. We just continue just to say, yes, Jesus, wherever You want. Yes, Jesus, we will meet You there. Yes, Jesus, that You will be the Lord of our lives. Yes, Jesus, we will let go. Yes, Jesus, we will forgive. Yes, Jesus, we want peace. We want more of You. We need You as Lord. And Holy Spirit, continue to move the life of this church and every person that is here, that Your Word would come alive to us when we're studying, as we're spending time together, Lord God, and that You would move in this place, Lord. Father God, I also invite that You prepare the hearts ahead of us, Lord God. That You move, Lord God, as we invite, Lord, as we work and we do our part to make more disciples, Lord God, that You would go ahead and, Lord, prepare hearts that need to be, that need to hear the good news of who You are. Prepare hearts, Lord God, to be encouraged by a relationship with You, Lord Jesus. Thank You again for just inviting us to be a part of building Your kingdom. Part of just breaking chains, Lord God, a part of setting people free, Lord, in Your name. You're the one that saved you. You do the heavy lifting, Lord. I pray, Lord God, this morning that You would give us peace. That we all need some more peace in our lives. We all need more rest, Lord God. And we find that in you. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name.